With the 8th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Roquan Smith, linebacker, Georgia.
Well, he might have been the best player in the college football playoff, even though Georgia didn't win the national championship. From the hometown of Montezuma, Georgia, he now goes to join the legends of the Monsters of the Midway, like Butkus, Singletary, Wilbur Marshall, Urlacher, etc. Kirk.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus. But today we're locked on Roquan Smith, the newest member of the Chicago Bears defense. We're going to break down his game really in depth here, going on a full scouting report on the Georgia linebacker. We'll get Ryan Pace's take from his press conference last night, breaking down the pick. We'll hear Roquan Smith giving his thoughts from his press conference after being drafted. We'll look at the bigger picture of that 8th overall pick. And finally, we will look ahead to the top of the 2nd round. Let's start with this 8th overall pick, though. I mean, can anyone say they were surprised? You know, when you look at how this draft was going to go, Roquan Smith was a popular pick in the mocks. He fits a best player available type mentality. He obviously fills a potential need in this Bears defense. And the Bears really got themselves a dynamic linebacker prospect. I think this was a very solid pick. A guy that truly feels like this next generation of NFL linebackers. We know he's, you know, just under 6'1", not the quote-unquote ideal linebacker size. I think he's up over 230 pounds. So he's got a little bit of a maxed-out frame, but he does so much so well. And obviously, it starts with the athletic ability, the 4.5 40, elite speed, the range from sideline to sideline. But it's not just that. It's the smarts to go with it. It's the fact that he knows how to slip blocks. He knows how to take the proper angles to the ball. He has the instincts to sort of feel what the play is coming in front of him. If it's a zone play, he gets the feeling for where the cutback lane is going to be, gets there before the running back does and makes the play. You know, if there's somebody pulling, he can kind of feel the direction of the run and get there and be one step ahead. You know, he's not caught thinking out on the field. He's able to not only be a fast individual and a fast football player, but he also plays fast. And that's one of the things I think people talked about Tremaine Edmonds. Tremaine Edmonds is also a fast football player. He ran extremely well at the combine, but he doesn't get to always play as fast as he can run because he has to think, because he has to process, and because he's still a bit of a raw draft prospect. But Roquan Smith, much more NFL ready. I had Smith higher than Edmonds. I know some people liked Edmonds' ceiling a little bit better, but I really think Roquan's got that Patrick Willis ceiling. Certainly he's not there yet, but he is just a phenomenal player. He's arguably the best coverage linebacker in this draft. He can get from sideline to sideline, but he also knows how to run with receivers on their routes. And, you know, I think there are times when he can get a little bit grabby if there's someone go over and over the middle, or if he gets, you know, if he's trying to switch between guys in his own responsibility and kind of has to change direction, sometimes he'll have that instinct to grab on, but he can recover so well. He can carry a running back, run on the wheel route out of the backfield. He can motion out with a tight end and follow them downfield. And that's really important for this next generation of NFL linebackers to be able to keep up with the defensive version here of the offensive innovation. You know, just a strong, smart, great off-the-field football player here. I think one of the other holes you can kind of poke in his game is his tendency to not take on blockers and try and be physical in that sense because he is a little bit undersized, but he does know how to slip him. He knows how to get around, and this is something that I think you can teach and you can train him with your coaching staff and throughout training camp about getting his hands inside, being aggressive, initiating that contact with the blocker to either occupy the block to free up a teammate or to shed that block and make the play anyway. And his elite physical tools in terms of both strength and speed really only make that easier. In terms of the Pro Football Focus numbers on Roquan Smith, and a lot of this you can find on Twitter at @PFF_Bears, the Chicago Bears only Pro Football Focus Twitter account, Roquan Smith has the 2nd highest coverage grade of any linebacker in this draft class. I believe Sky Moore is the one that's ahead of him, but still incredibly impressive numbers, right up near that elite category of grades. But in terms of statistics and not just grades, he has the second most total stops of any linebacker in the nation last year in terms of plays that constituted a loss for the offense. So it's the running play for three or fewer yards, that, you know, short gain or loss, and it's the passing plays that you tackle them short of, you know, 3 or 4 yards or short on third down, the plays that truly make the difference for a defense. He had the second most of any linebacker in college football last year, and specifically with run stops, he had the sixth highest percentage of his tackles being run stops as opposed to regular tackles. So this is a guy not only strong in coverage, strong against the run, and he's really an underrated blitzer. And I think that's a part of his game that sometimes gets a little overlooked. Really improved on that in his last year at Georgia. Knows how to get after the quarterback, and sometimes that's just being fast and explosive and having that burst to get around a block. Sometimes it's flashing a few pass fish moves, but this is a guy that is a versatile weapon for the middle of Vic Fangio's defense. He also played special teams even as a senior, worked on the punt teams and field goal and even a little bit of kickoff coverage using that athletic ability. There's just so much to like about this prospect, and it's easy to see why Ryan Pace pulled the trigger with that 8th overall pick. Pace talked to the media Thursday night after making the pick. It was pretty late. I think a lot of people might have missed it, so I'm going to play for you some of the things Ryan Pace had to say about Roquan Smith, how they came about drafting him, what some of their thought process was with making a potential trade in the draft, and what role Vic Fangio played in the draft pick. So here is Ryan Pace on the new middle linebacker of the Chicago Bears.
Ryan, for you, what are some of the signature moments you saw that sort of exemplify who he is as a football player, or things that you could point to that stand out?
I mean, just every game you watch, I mean, he's just so explosive, you know. I mean, Notre Dame, every game you watch, this guy's flying around, making plays. You just can't help. And I think, you know, in today's NFL, the linebackers are becoming more and more of this. You know, sometimes you might sacrifice a little bit of size to gain a lot of athleticism and a lot of speed. And Roquan definitely has that.
Ryan, other than his hole in one, how fired up was Fangio about this decision?
He was so fired up to give you guys that information. So he's been walking around with his chest out all day. He couldn't be happier. So it's an important acquisition for us. I know Vic and his staff will maximize this player, and that's what's exciting about it. Vic's been around a lot of good linebacker play. And this just adds to the great linebacker play the Bears have had as well.
Specifically, what was his input in maybe the ranking
the linebackers for you?
Very important. I mean, Vic, you know, this is obviously one of Vic's top players, one of Matt's top players, my top player. I mean, the thing about this is, one thing I'll look, you know, and we've talked about this, we might have 12, 10, 12, 15 grades on a guy. And it's so comforting for me when I can look at that bandwidth of grades and they're all right next to each other. And that's definitely how Roquan was. So it makes the pick really easy when we're all unified like that.
Just wondering, there was some buzz on TV that you guys were maybe thinking about trying to get back in at the end of the first round. Was there any validity to that?
I think, you know, we're always exploring those things, you know. So to answer your question, yeah, you know, we were exploring some different options to come back in. And like we talked about the other day, we're always going to be aggressive if there's players we like. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
Along the same lines, when you were drafting there at 8, how active were the phones with teams that needed a quarterback there? Would you say that it was strong interest, or how would you characterize that?
Dave, it wasn't super strong, really, you know. And as soon as Roquan was there, as soon as we knew it was going to unfold that way, the whole room is elated, you know. So it was just that's a great moment in the draft room when everybody feels that way, you know.
Obviously, Ryan Pace is excited about this draft pick. I mean, of course he's excited about it. Of course, everyone in the Bears organization is going to be excited about it. And I guess in that sense, you wonder how much of what he said is truly genuine about everyone having consensus grades. I mean, they have no reason to say anything otherwise, but it did seem like Vic Fangio was pretty fired up about this. And I was surprised with the conviction they showed with that 8th overall pick. Because you look at how this first round played out, particularly at the top here, it wasn't really the same order that I think a lot of people predicted, but it was pretty much the seven guys
that seemed like they were going to come off the board before the Bears picked. Baker Mayfield, Saquon Barkley, Sam Darnold. Denzel Ward at 4 was a little bit higher, I think, than people might have thought, but still seemed like a potential top 8 pick. And then Bradley Chubb, Quentin Nelson, and Josh Allen. Not really the order we would have expected, but when we went through all of our pre-draft scenarios for this Bears first-round pick, it kind of played out like this, where the guard is off the board, Chubb's off the board, and some quarterbacks, and maybe one other guy, and then you're left sort of with your pick of the best available defensive players for the most part. And so it was going to kind of come down to, you know, Smith, Tremaine Edmonds, Minkah Fitzpatrick, maybe Derwin James. Mike McGlinchey ended up being a top 10 pick too. I don't know if he would have been in the mix for the Bears, but it almost sounds a little bit like Roquan Smith was going to be the guy, even if Bradley Chubb was there. Maybe even if Quentin Nelson was there. I mean, they were really high on this linebacker. He's a fit in their defense. And given everybody that was on the board and everyone that had come off the board, I would have made the same pick. I was in on Roquan. It's either going to be Roquan Smith or Harold Landry for me when you see the board play out like that. But obviously, Landry falls all the way to the second round. We're going to get more in-depth on him too, but clearly there's more to that story than we previously knew. But it's Roquan Smith. He's here. It's easy to be excited about this draft pick. He's a perfect fit next to Danny Trevathan. We'll see what this is going to mean for Nick Kwiatkowski and even Danny Trevathan. I mean, I wonder if this means Kwiatkowski is destined for a career as a backup, or if this could say more about the future of Danny Trevathan. You know, Danny he's only 28, just turned 28 in March, and he's set to cost about $7 million this year and $7.5 million next year. And if the Bears wanted to cut him after this season, they'd save about $6.5 million. So you could see this as a potential, you know, opening up of Nick Kwiatkowski to take over for Trevathan next year. But Danny Trevathan and Nick Kwiatkowski are kind of on the same contract timeline here. They were, you know, Kwiatkowski was drafted the year that the Bears signed Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman. Trevathan got a 4-year deal. Kwiatkowski has a 4th-round pick. He got a 4-year deal. They're both going to be up after the 2019 season. And if you ride with Danny Trevathan for 2 more years, along with Roquan Smith as your starting inside linebackers, then when Trevathan and Kwiatkowski are set to be free agents, are you going to extend Danny Trevathan and pay him a lot of money as he gets to that age 30 hump of his career? Or are you then going to turn around and pay an inexperienced Nick Kwiatkowski, a guy who started 6 games last year and 7 games as a rookie? He's had that spot starting experience, but are you then going to turn around and give him a big contract extension, you know, entering in his prime? He's going to want to get that money from somebody, you know, having not had him play all that long. You know, I'm just really curious to see how Roquan Smith impacts the future of these two players as to whether it really does doom Nick Kwiatkowski to being that bench third linebacker who can fill in and play a lot of special teams but not really be the future of your defense, or if this speeds up the clock on Danny Trevathan and that 1 more year of Trevathan and then it's Kwiatkowski-Smith for the future. Certainly, Smith has that next-level athleticism that Nick Kwiatkowski doesn't, and maybe that lack of athletic ability, which I think is a little bit overblown for Nick Kwiatkowski. Maybe that's a bigger deal to Ryan Pace than we know, and he doesn't see him as a long-term starter in the middle of his defense. I don't know. We're going to see, but I think the addition here of Roquan Smith makes it that much more interesting. He's excited to be in Chicago. He got to talk to reporters right after the draft in Dallas. There was a lot of noise going on. The draft was still going on when he was talking to reporters. So there's a decent amount of background noise going with this, but he gave some of his thoughts on coming to Chicago, coming to Vic Fangio's defense, and sort of the pre-draft process when he met with the Bears. So here is the newest member of the Chicago Bears, Roquan Smith, talking about his draft process.
What should Bears fans expect to see from you when you're on the field?
I said a tremendous leader, first and foremost, but a guy with tremendous instincts, a lot of range as well, and just get to the ball.
When you talked to the Bears, how did they make it sound like you would fit in? And did your meeting with them give you any hunch that this would happen?
Well, it was very different with each and every team. I feel like a lot of teams, you know, showed the same level of interest, but with Chicago, it was very special up there. It definitely felt like home, and then having one of my guys, Leonard Floyd, then I kind of grew a relationship, had a relationship with Kevin White as well, so it's great, and I'm just excited to get up there and get to work. I feel like I can be very important on the defense alongside Trevathan. I met Kevin White. We actually have the same agency, so I met him out in Arizona when I was training. Dan up in Chicago as well.
So we've been raving about Roquan Smith here. Definitely think he was the guy to go with that eighth overall pick. You know, I was concerned a little bit that Ryan Pace might go for the higher ceiling, at least from a perception standpoint, the higher ceiling of Tremaine Edmonds or even like Marcus Davenport, the edge rusher. But I do think Tremaine Edmonds gets that higher ceiling moniker only because he's 19 years old. And I'm pretty sure I read that Tremaine Edmonds played more snaps at Virginia Tech than Roquan Smith played at Georgia. So even though he's 2 years younger, Tremaine Edmonds has played more football in his college career than Roquan Smith. So in theory, Roquan Smith has had less experience. Wouldn't that make him a little bit more raw? And I mean, obviously the term raw tends to just refer to a lack of technique, but it seems like when we talk about guys like Tremaine Edmonds, we talk about being raw, it's almost viewed as a strength at times, that raw is this purely untapped potential that can be fulfilled and produce so much more than he is now. But really, being raw is a negative. It says this player is not as NFL ready, and there's a risk that he's not going to ever be great in his technique. But Roquan Smith is great in his technique, and he is an extremely talented athlete, a strong football player, and he really does check pretty much all the boxes, and yet there is still that room for improvement. He can refine his instincts that much more. He can be that much better in coverage. He can be more aggressive in taking on blocks, and if he does all of those things, then there's that Patrick Willis-type ceiling of a potential Hall of Fame player. I think on the ESPN broadcast, even Kirk Herbstreit talked about him as a rookie of the year type candidate. And I certainly think that's a fair expectation, or at least a fair goal to set for Roquan Smith in this year one, because he's both pro ready and has that high ceiling. Really does check the boxes for the first round pick. And I think there's plenty of reason to be excited about him in Chicago. But there's also a lot of work still to do on this Bears roster. And when we look ahead to the second round here, I think the Bears are going to have some opportunities to add players at positions of need. It's just a matter of whether or not Ryan Pace views them as the best player available, because I think we've seen in the second round, he's also not afraid to just take that high-ceiling player like an Adam Shaheen out of Division II Ashland. You know, he took Cody Whitehair in the second round 2 years ago. That was maybe a little bit more of a need-type solid player fit, but I think there's a ceiling there with Cody Whitehair as that top potential offensive lineman. He played at a near Pro Bowl caliber level as a rookie. So, I mean, the ceiling was there too. And you look in this year's second round, we talked about Harold Landry a little bit on this podcast. And he was a guy I would have considered with the eighth overall pick. And when he falls all the way to the second round here, that is definitely a red flag. And I think the rumor on Twitter has been some sort of medical red flag. I want to say it is his back, but don't quote me on that one. Certainly reasons to be scared off a little bit by Harold Landry in terms of upgrading the edge rusher position here. You could throw Lorenzo Carter kind of in this conversation for the 39th pick. Not a guy I'm super confident in. Another Georgia Bulldog. Maybe you could just build the all-Georgia Bears defense with Carter and Roquan Smith and Leonard Floyd, but I'm not exactly sold on Lorenzo Carter being a great edge rusher. I think he could be a better off-the-ball linebacker, and of course you grab Roquan Smith in the first round. So if I'm sitting here at 39, and we know that Ryan Pace considered trading up at the end of the first round to go get somebody, I'm really looking at these offensive linemen. I think there's a couple of first-round caliber guys that slipped. You know, we saw Frank Ragnow and Billy Price and Isaiah Wynn all go off the board there in towards the bottom of the first round, but that left Will Hernandez from UTEP still sitting here going into day two. James Daniels, the center from Iowa, he's still there. I think there were some reports of a medical red flag helping him slip a little bit here too, so definitely some caution to proceed with there. And also the Texas left tackle Connor Williams, who I think some people are projecting inside to guard. I think he could play left tackle in the NFL too if he wants to. All three of those guys I think would be solid, solid choices with that 39th overall pick if they're on the board. I think any of those three guys can slot in as day one starters. You know, you start Daniels at center and put Whitehair at left guard, or you'd put Hernandez or Connor Williams at left guard, maybe even Connor Williams at right tackle if you wanted to. And that would address what I think is the biggest need on this Bears roster. It's got to be offensive line number one for me. Then I kind of put edge rusher and defensive line after that. And when you have the opportunity to add a potential first-round caliber offensive lineman in the top of the second round, I absolutely think that's the direction I would go with the 39th overall pick. But I would also be pretty strongly tempted by Josh Jackson from Iowa. He was one of the top cornerback prospects in this draft. He fell all the way out of the first round. I think some question marks for me there, just that he's been such a playmaker in terms of turnover generation. I think there's he gave up some big plays this year, and there's some weaknesses in his game. A little bit more of a zone cornerback than a man-to-man guy, but I think he would absolutely be a home run of a 39th overall pick just in terms of getting a great value and a great talent with that seventh pick of the second round. You could throw Isaiah Oliver in there at the cornerback position, maybe a little bit more of a man-to-man guy, but a guy the Bears were rumored to be very strongly interested in the pre-draft process. I think you could plug either one of those guys in the slot early on in Chicago, maybe have them work their way outside down the line if Prince Amukamara or Kyle Fuller, you know, you move on from one of them after a couple years if their contracts don't work out the way you want it to. Definitely think there is a lot of cornerback talent here. And I think the last position is wide receiver with Cortland Sutton, Anthony Miller, and Christian Kirk on the board. Three guys that have that playmaking ability, maybe aren't ever going to be true number one wide receivers, but, you know, Sutton has that size and that speed combination that you like. Christian Kirk, a little bit of a smaller, shifty slot type guy. You know, there's a lot to like here with the players that are on the board heading into the second round. Gives Ryan Pace quite a few options here. I'm curious to know who they were maybe trying to trade up for, but there's still offensive linemen on the board, still cornerbacks on the board, still a couple edge rushers and some wide receivers as well. So I think the Bears have a pretty good opportunity here to grab another day one starter here in the second round. Maybe they'd feel comfortable enough with this talent to trade down, try and recoup some draft picks as well. And clearly they haven't ruled out trading up here in the second round to make sure they get the guy that they have their eyes on. So should be an exciting day two of the draft. We will be here in podcast form afterward, breaking it all down for you. Then we'll be back after day three as well, a rare Saturday edition of Locked On Bears to get you through your weekend. And then all next week, we'll be talking draft. We'll break down some of these prospects in depth with some experts from the draft community, some scouts to really get to the minutiae of these players and how they'll fit in Chicago. Should be plenty of great Bears NFL draft content coming your way. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. Make sure you don't miss a single episode coming out all through the draft, because this offseason is going to be long, folks. But we are here to help you through it. Make sure you are keeping up with Locked On Bears on social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram at Locked On Bears. You can also follow my personal account at Cox Sports One on the Twitter machine. We always have a good time on there. There's in-depth Chicago Bears analysis coming at you in so many ways, and we'll be bringing it for every draft pick this year. Of course, it started with Roquan Smith. And if you're thrilled about the new inside linebacker for the Chicago Bears, then you got to give him a hearty bear down.